Good evening. The time is 8 p.m.
QST, 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 calling all radio amateurs. This is N7IVV, November 7, India, Victor, Victor. My name is Brad, activating the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association General Service Net. This net is held every Wednesday at 8 p.m. local time on this W4VA repeater, which is located in Warrenton, Virginia. This repeater is owned and operated by the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association and uses a PL tone of 167.9 Hz for access. If anyone listening would like additional information, please see our website at w4va.org. The purpose of this net is to provide a forum for general discussion and Q&A on topics regarding general topics such as radio hardware, computer software, antennas, operating procedures, and other similar topics and information related to amateur radio activities. A couple things I was going to bring up, which I'll wait until I finish with the announcements and whatnot. A couple things I've noticed this week. They're kind of a little more technical than just general operating, but what the heck. As far as announcements go, remember those of you that are, well, hey, everybody, because everybody's welcome to come. Club meeting, but don't come tomorrow. A date got moved to next week because of scheduling. Somebody scheduled a room on top of us, or before us, I should say, for this month. And so anyway, next week, the 21st, we'll have our regular club meeting over at the Path Foundation building. Also on WebEx, as we usually do. Next weekend, the 23rd, next Saturday, there will be another fox hunt. This will be beginning at 10 a.m. over at the Fauquier County, I guess it's Warrenton, Fauquier County Airport, which is real easy to find, and it's also pretty easy to Google for maps. It's just off 28 down Midland area, down, you know, if you're heading down towards Bealeton on 28 south. Anyway, that should be fun for everybody. Some of us, listen to me, some people are pretty good at it. Some people are getting started, and hopefully those that are good, this time we'll spend more time with those that are getting started and make it a good experience for everybody. Everybody's welcome. And this is one of those things where you do not have to be a licensed amateur radio operator to participate in, because all you're doing is receiving. And I know most everybody's aware of that. But informal club breakfast coming up again on the 30th. I guess that's, what, 2 weeks from now? 8:30 a.m. back at Wegmans. So tell your friends and neighbors, come on up and join you as well. Does anybody else have any announcements I may have overlooked? This is N7IVV. Go ahead. Okay. Just to start off, to maybe tweak some interest here, I've noticed two things here in my own shack operating area here, my area of operations, my AO. As is my normal standard operating procedure, out mowing the lawn, I managed to cut another wire that I have out there. This was the pseudo-invisible fence for the dog. I say pseudo because I was not going to try and bury the wire out back through the woods. So I just lay on the ground. And, of course, over the years, it gets completely overgrown by things. Well, anyway, I was just trying to clear some stuff out. Cut the wire. Had to replace it, you know, fix it, decided to extend the wire a little bit, so I'm running this stuff, and I realized, you know, this stuff really is pretty tough. Now, of course, it's just copper wire, and I think it's only 18 gauge, but the insulation coating that they have on it is really tough stuff. I mean, you know, you can bury that in the ground, it'll stay just fine for ever. I have had rodents, believe it or not, chew through it. That was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen, but I got thinking, you know, this would make pretty good antenna wire. It's lightweight. It's flexible. You wouldn't want to keep bending it a lot because it is solid core, but it's pretty strong. I don't have any idea how long you could go before you started taxing the strength of the stuff. But anyway, just something to think about. I don't know what it costs compared to regular wire, but probably a pretty good deal. I mean, usually you buy a 500-foot spool of that stuff when you're putting in an invisible fence. So just something to think about. No, I have not tried it. I didn't need to make an antenna in the last 2 days. But anyway, the other thing I noticed, flashback a little ways, a couple of weeks prior to field day, Kevin, W4RKU, was having some trouble with his, I believe it was his keyer, and I'll let him fill in the blanks on that. But after a bunch of troubleshooting, and quite a bit of troubleshooting, yeah, I mean, he was having trouble with his computer, he found out that it was actually the Bluetooth keyboard, or mouse, or whatever, but it was the Bluetooth device that was causing interference, that was messing up his keyer, and causing problems. And I thought, that's weird. You know, usually we kind of think the opposite would be the case. You'd be getting RF coming into your keyboard, you know, your USB cable, and getting into your computer and messing with stuff. Well, apparently, whatever the frequency that the Bluetooth is using was causing some sort of interference with his system. Well, earlier this morning, okay, more information. Oh, by the way, he was experiencing kind of the same thing at field day, with a different setup, different radio and whatnot, and swapped it out for, whatever, I'm not lying about the first thing. I don't remember what field day was. I remember swapping a keyboard out for one that I was hoping to use, and he ended up taking it from me. Hi. But anyway, today, I receive weather satellite images. That's kind of what my satellite station does all the time here at home. It just automatically tracks the NOAA weather satellites, and then I download the images, which is a really simple process with a little bit of software. What it does is I've got an SDR hooked in to the antennas. Of course, the antennas are driven by rotators and computers running it and whatnot, but the SDR pumps into, I think the software is SDR console, which is just one of many applications out there. It's an AirSpy SDR. And it, of course, records, you know, it's receiving the audio, and then the program that converts that audio over into an actual image is simply, that's all it's doing. It's just simply pulling the audio off of that down feed and the downlink, and then converting it into an image. And this is on 7IVV. Been doing that for many years. Really, I get a kick out of it. It's fun. I love watching the computer and everything doing its thing automatically and watching the antennas tracking satellites as they go over. But every once in a while, and of course you can watch the image as it receives and decodes, as it, shall we say, paints the screen. And it's kind of like the old-fashioned, those of you that have been around for a while, the old-fashioned, WeFax, you know, and the line-by-line of image as it comes across. And that's kind of what the satellite does. You know, as it's passing over, it's simply scanning back and forth for, you know, I don't know how big the image is. And it just kind of paints its way down the screen on with your program. Well, it has to sync up, you know, because you've got Doppler going on, and so the signal is going up and down as the satellite's coming and going. You know how Doppler works. And luckily, the software usually can track that because it's got a broad enough filter and yada, yada, yada. Well, sometimes what I get is I'm looking at the screen and the sync on the image keeps going off. And so the image keeps shifting and shifting and shifting, and I end up with this sideways spaghetti-looking thing, which luckily the software can fix to a point. And some days it doesn't do that. And I got thinking, what in the world did I ID? This is N7IVB. And it's just really frustrating. So, you know, I would reboot my computer, and I would load the software in different order. And I have a switch that I use, a USB switch, because I share my monitors and keyboard between four different computers. And sometimes it loses its connection for some reason on that computer. And with the USB, it gets confused. And so, you know, I stopped doing that. And then I got thinking, maybe it's my monitors, because my monitors make a lot of noise. And so that's what I did last night. I turned off the monitors, and I came back in this morning and looked. And, yeah, it's a beautiful image. And then I was doing something else when another pass came over this morning. Sorry for the long story on this. And needed to do something because I was working, so I had the keyboard and everything over on the other computer. But I had purchased a little USB trackpad, if you will, touchpad. And I would use that directly. You know, I had that hooked in directly to the computer that has all this stuff on it, so I could use it at the same time. Well, anyway, it was turned off. So I flipped it on and then noticed, look, the image just shifted. And I turned it off. And then the image stabilized. And I turned it back on and the image started shifting again. I went, now this is very interesting. So for some reason, and it is a Bluetooth device, which also plugs in just via straight USB, it's a rechargeable device, but for some reason, it was affecting the I don't know what it's affecting, quite honestly, because the signal showing up on the SDR console coming off the SDR looked perfectly fine. But somehow, between that program and the decoding program, it was doing something to the sync signal on the image to make it shift. So, I don't know what to say about that except for the fact that it's happening. So, with that, we'll take check-ins and you guys can throw out your 2 cents worth on that or whatever else you'd like to talk about tonight. So, this is N7IVV with the Foxtrot Amateur Radio Association General Service Net taking check-ins now.
This is K1HTV Mobile.
W4RKU. Kilo Oscar 4 Mike Bravo November in and out.
This is Kilo Oscar 4 Victor November Zulu in and out.
Kilo 4, Bravo, Oscar, X-ray, in and out.
This is Kilo Golf 4, Echo Hotel, Lima.
KN4, STL, in and out.
This is Kilo November 4, Quebec, X-ray, Delta, in and out.
This is Kilo Oscar 4,
Lima, Lima, Charlie, in and out.
Okay, well, see if I tell stories anymore that nobody wants to talk about. Got K1HTV, Rich, W4RKU, Kevin, and a whole bunch of people that don't want to talk to us tonight. KO4MBN, KO4VNZ, Chuck, K4BOX, Garth, KG4EHL, I think I got that right, Robert. You're going to stick around, that's nice. KF4TEK actually checked in earlier, said checking in even because he may not be able to get to the radio, but he's probably listening, so got him checked in. KN4SPL, KN4QXD, and KO4LLC. Anybody else want to check in tonight? N7IVV, here, go ahead.
HG4VA.
KY4OP.
Okay, HG4VA, Alan, I was actually just thinking about you the last day or so. Haven't heard you on the nets for a while, so good to hear you. KY4OP, Nick, good to hear you. I actually have one more announcement. Rich, what is CFP's chocolate fried potatoes prefix?
I think it's KG4, is it K Kilo Bravo 4? I'm not sure, over.
No, that's not it either. Well, anyway, I'm going to re-announce the request that if anybody knows anybody or if anybody happens to be listening to the net tonight down in the, not Nelson County. What the heck county was it that they need a new EC in?
Louisa County.
Thank you. Yep, that's it. Louisa County is looking for a new EC, emergency coordinator. So if anybody lives down there in that county, I don't know if you actually have to be in the county or not, but it probably helps, or at least to live close by. Anyway, you need to contact Chuck, whose last four of his call are for chocolate, or CFP, Charlie Foxtrot Papa. He goes by chocolate fried potatoes. I'm just drawing a blank on the prefix. I know it's K something, but I haven't gone through the whole alphabet yet to figure out what it was, and I apologize for that. He may be listening and can pop in here. But with that, I guess I'll go ahead and turn it over to Rich and get comments from you, K1HTV and 7IBV.
Thanks, Brad. This is K1HTV Mobile, just crossing over the border from Fauquier County into Culpeper County. I'm now in Amosville. Hey, good evening to all. Not too much going on over the weekend. The Saturday was a big DX opening, as I mentioned on the Sunday net, being able to work over to Kazakhstan on 6 meters, hearing a total of 5 stations in Kazakhstan over a 90-minute period. Good amount of European DX, worked the Russian station, and then in Crimea. And for the past 3 days, 4 days, it's been fairly quiet on 6 meters. We're still in the middle of the peak of the e-skip season, but it can be that way. Good to see the solar flux up in the 160s. As of yesterday, it was, I believe, 163. I didn't look at it today, and you may have mentioned early, but I was a little bit late in getting on. But the K-index was up to 5 the other day. You had a magnetic storm yesterday, and that's kind of died down. We do have a coronal hole, which is probably the cause of that. Upcoming VHF contest, see you guys on 2 meters and 6 meters this weekend, sideband, and FT8, FT4, and maybe FM on 5.2 and the other frequencies. Other than that, things are fairly quiet. The DX on 15 and 20 are negatively affected by the E-skip that's occurring. The E-layer tends to prevent the signals from getting through to the higher F2 layer. So you start seeing some negative effects of E-skip in the summertime. If there is some double hop E-skip across to Europe, the F2 layer, when the MUF gets high enough, and it's high enough right now at 160-something to propagate 10-meter signals, a lot of the F2 skip is inhibited by the E-layers, the dense E-layer, patches of E-layers. So, but still, you should have some pretty decent conditions in the next week or so on the higher bands. That's it. Back to net control and 7IVV. This is K1HTV Mobile in Amosville.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Rich. I'm showing the solar flux at 165 right now, for whatever that's worth. Okay, Kevin, W4RKU, good to have you with us tonight. Go ahead.
7IVV, W4RKU. Good evening, Brad. Thank you for pulling the net tonight. With your query earlier, it was a wireless keyboard, not a Bluetooth. The real head scratcher with that problem is it only occurred on 15 meters, and I've been using that same keyboard for 2 years. So the only thing I could have noodled through was that something in the keyboard just kind of done more out. I don't know. But I got a new keyboard, and I worked on 15 meters just fine. Back to what K1HTV said earlier about the coronal hole. There has to have been something going on this afternoon because conditions during the CWT today, it was terrible. And I wouldn't say terrible, but it just, you know, last week was like, I got 63. And this week, I barely got over 30, so, and I had to work through those. Just, it was just like dead out there. But, I'm hoping that tonight will work for you a little bit better, for the 11 o'clock one. That's about all the radio I've had been doing. I've got the rotor program working nice. I've got the shell program set up for some presets. And then talking with the ham live guy back and forth, kind of, seems like there was a problem with the TS-2000 split that used to work, but it doesn't seem to be working right now. So that's all I have. I've tucked enough. N7IVV, W4RKU, back to
N. Okay, thank you. Well, the question, I guess, is, what frequency is the wireless keyboard running at? That's just the little dongle that Logitech and everybody uses. Anybody know what frequency that may be running on?
To be fair, okay, I looked it up. I think it was like a 2.4 gigahertz.
HTV.
Go ahead, Richard.
So is it Bluetooth in the 2 gig range? Also, the failure, it caused that oddball problem. If it's wireless, is it possible the battery had gotten close to the low end of failing and possibly was acting strange?
Q1HTV, M4RK. Sorry, I should have gone back to Brad. But just real quick, yeah, I changed the battery with real fresh one. So that wasn't the problem. Thanks. I'll turn it back over to Brad and 7IVHW4RK.
Okay, well, I guess that's a science project for us. And when I get a satellite pass tonight, well, 52 minutes when NOAA 18 comes over for its first readable pass this evening, I'm going to do my little experiment with this little Bluetooth pad and take a screenshot, I guess, share it with anybody who's interested. Okay, anyway. All right, we got KG4EHL. Robert, how you doing tonight? Go ahead.
7IVV, net controls, KG4EHL. Doing well tonight, listening in and getting back into the groove of getting on in net and talking on the radio, making some contacts, getting the station reset. But, you were talking about the cable outside, the dog fence cable, I guess is what you call it. I have a number of spools from a project, or actually another house that we were going to use that wiring. Well, long story short, I'm in a HOA, pretty well restricted, and my attic is full of that wire now for all of my antennas. So I've got a loop that runs around the inside of the attic for 20 meters. I've got a fan dipole made out of that wire, as well as a couple end feds. So it seems to work really well. And I figured, you know, being in the attic, there wouldn't be a lot of tension or anything on the wire. But I've moved the cable around enough. So like you said, I think it'd be fine for for most projects without too much stress or using it too often. But works really well. I can comment on that. Just listening to you guys talk about what the interferences were and things like that, and trying to learn every day. So I've chatted enough here. Back to net control, N7IVVs, KG4EHL.
Okay, Robert. Well, thanks for the first-hand report on that wiring. That's good. I've got some stranded stuff that's, probably 12 gauge or something that I've been using for antennas, the few wire antennas that I have. And you know, of course, that's strong. It's going to last forever. It's also not insulated, which actually in one spot in my yard probably is not a good idea, although I actually haven't been using that antenna for a while because the wire actually rubs up against a branch. And I'm sure that does not help the propagation or the SWR or anything, although it's not wire, it's not worn through to the sap. But anyway, point is, it doesn't have any insulation on it. HG4VA, Alan, how are things going down there in the south? Go ahead.
Well, good evening, Brad. Good evening to everybody on the net. This is HG4VA, Alan, down in the thriving metropolis of Ivy, Virginia. I see they're tearing up the side of the road. We're getting another bank in Ivy. I think we'll have a total of six buildings once we get another bank. I don't know why we need another bank, but one's coming. I was over in West Virginia on Monday doing summits on the air activations. And first one was actually just on the border, Paddy Knob, still in Virginia, and worked a bunch of East Coast stations on 40 meters and France on 20. Usually worked the West Coast on 20 as well. And after lunch, I moved over to Red Spruce Knob, which is west of Snowshoe, not to be confused with Spruce Knob that Andy and Rich and the big bus of amateur radio equipment goes to. Red Spruce is down to the south and over to the west of Snowshoe. And up on that summit, I worked the Netherlands and Canada on 20 meters. But the cool thing on that one was 2 meters got a station from Indianapolis, Indiana, 337 miles. I think that's my longest VHF contact on 2 meters. I'll just send him an email and make sure he wasn't just joking with me. But his call sign is in Indianapolis, Indiana address, and he certainly got a nice picture of a tower in his backyard, so I think that's probably correct, and 337 miles would be my longest VHF contact from the summit. So I had a little tropo recently. I didn't look Monday before I left home. Usually I can't get to a summit any quicker if it looks like tropo is really good, so I don't usually look. So maybe we still had some enhancement by the time I was on Red Spruce, which is probably around 3 in the afternoon. So I'll confirm with him. But if so, that's pretty cool. And usually, and there's not a whole lot between Red Spruce Knob and Indianapolis mountain-wise. So the terrain usually, you know, I'm up about 4,500 feet. I don't know what Indianapolis is, not very high. So there's not much in between. So usually places like that, we get out pretty good from the summits. I know down near the Peaks of Otter, the same situation. You're looking down into North Carolina, and I've got some good 240, 280-mile VHF contacts down there. So seems to work good from those tall summits to look out into the flats. Hope everybody's having a fun summer. 73 to all. Back to you, Brad. HG4VA.
HG4VA, this is W4RKU. Brad has stepped away for a sec, so I'm taking over net control. And as far as based upon what he told me, it is now time for Nick, KY4OP. What's up, Nick?
This is KY4OP at the Fauquier County Fair. Doing well tonight. We've been hanging out here most of the day at the fair and having people stop in and check out the 4-H trailer, learn a little more about electronics and radio, and a little more about 4-H. So with that, I've actually got some people here at the window, so I'm going to say 73 and give it back to net control. This is KY4OP.
KY4OP, W4RKU. Are you back yet?
Yeah, I'm here. Thanks for picking that up. Nick, I'm wondering, have you guys in your 4-H club started your satellite hardware building yet?
We have not yet. I actually need to get an email to you to figure out parts and stuff for that so we can get that ordered and get that figured out here for this fall is actually when we're planning on doing that. So that's quickly approaching.
Yeah, it is. It's the middle of July. That means it's already October. At least the way it seems to go for me. Okay, but I'll be proactive. I'll send you something because I just used the plan, the project notes, and everything that a fella down in Australia actually did for the schools down there. It's SARCnet, I think it is, or SARC something. If you just search on SARC, that's Sierra, Sierra Alpha Romeo Charlie. But I'll send you the link. It'll probably be easier. But anyway, that's the stuff I did. I've actually got some pieces already. I've got a set of motors, and I don't remember what I'll have to dig through. I'll be happy to donate those to get you started. And I can also print up another case like I use if you want, or send you the file. You guys can print it if you got a 3D printer if you want. Anyway, we'll get together. Okay, this is N7IVV. That's the end of the list. Anybody else want to check in tonight or recheck? Go ahead. All righty then. It's actually turning into a very pleasant evening. Go outside and enjoy the stars before the moon comes up too high, and we'll catch up with you all later. This is N7IVV. This has been the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association General Service Net, which meets every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on this repeater, 8 p.m. local time. And also invite you to stop in and
and join the net that we have on Sunday nights, which is a general technical services net, a little more technical stuff. At the same time, 8 p.m. If anybody would like, again, more information, go to our website, w4va.org. If you'd like to ask a question specifically of the net people, you can send an email to farahnet@w4va.org, and that'll get it to us. Okay, so repeating, this is N7IVV closing the Farahnet and returning the repeater to normal use. Everyone have a pleasant evening and a good evening and a pleasant tomorrow. 7-3.